God wants us to pray all the time. He tells in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. You know what prayer is? It's talking with God. He wants you and I to talk with him. Not just when we have great needs or we're in a crisis. Is there anything wrong with calling on God when you're in a crisis? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In Psalm 50, verse 15, the Bible says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Yeah, he wants to respond to us in our great needs. But know this of a truth, he's not beholding to you and to me when that's the only time he hears from us. Thankful to say he is a merciful God and a forgiving God. And even though we may not always be walking with him and talking with him, and we are met with a crisis, that he would very often accommodate because of who he is. Look, if you would, at Psalm 91. And these are the verses that Brother John read just a few minutes ago. Speaks of our God. Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15. We'll read it again. Because he hath set his love upon me. That's referring to the believer, the child of God. Because the child of God has set his love upon me, the Lord. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. This speaks of God, a loving Father. And you and I, we are brought to some problems and troubles in life, some crises in life. What a wonderful thing it is for the believer to drop to their knees and call upon God and know that he's listening and that we matter to him. But it's not so much great confidence in the believer who that's the only time they pray. God help us to have an attitude of prayer, an attitude of walking with God day by day and experiencing the great joys of walking with him. Time in his word, time on our knees, praying even though we're not on our knees, interacting with God. God is pleased with that. And he's ready to answer when we have a crisis. And again, many of us have gone through crises already. If you haven't, probably you will at some point. I believe God uses those events in our lives to cause us to call upon him, to make us dependent upon him. And we're going to read about somebody who only calls upon God when he has a need. God help us if we can relate to this guy, and this is a picture of you and I, that maybe we ought to make a decision this morning. I'm changing. I'm not just calling on God when I have some need. I'm going to talk with him every day. When you and I leave here today, may we be resolved to do that very thing. I'm going to walk closer with him. I'm going to spend more time listening to him, reading his word, and talking to him in prayer. Turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And notice with me what I would refer to as a crisis Christian. Now, he's not a Christian way back when. He's one of David's sons, Adonijah. But he's what today we would call a crisis Christian. A Christian who acts like a Christian, all of a sudden goes to prayer and gets close to God because he's in the middle of some mess. And notice with me, 1 Kings 1, verse 50. The Bible says, and Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and rose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, then shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, And Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. Here's this Adonijah. Let's review the story. We only read the ending. David is king, but he's dying. And it's time to choose a successor. All the way back to verse 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. He was cold. He was cold all the time. He's old. He was dying. David is close to the Lord and therefore knows God's choice to follow him on the throne is his other son, Solomon, not Adonijah. But Adonijah jumps the gun and sets himself up as the new king. Verse 5. 1 Kings 1, verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalteth himself. You know, there's a problem there. When anybody exalts themselves, God help us to be people of humility, clothed with humility, Peter tells us. Humble people before God and before man. No pride. God hates pride. But he had pride in him. And his father's dying and he's going to take the throne. Says he exalted himself, verse 5, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he set it up for him to be king. Word is brought to King David, and he immediately has Solomon anointed and riding on the king's mule, because God had selected Solomon, and David knew it, and he was anointed. Verse 28. Follow with me, 28 to 34. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord of God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, not Adonijah. And he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there, king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Well, when word gets back to Adonijah and those at his coronation party that he's conducting, having set himself up as the king, fear prevails. Fear prevails. You know, when it hits the fan. Look at verse 41. Follow with me as we read down to 49. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? What is that noise? What is that sound? They're trying to have a party here. I mean, they're coronating Adonijah. He's going to be the new king. What is all that trumpet going? In fact, if you'll back up to 39 and 40, and Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes, and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. That's what they were listening to. Oh, there was another coronation. And it isn't me. I got all my friends. I've got this party going. I've set myself. I have exalted myself. Oh, but there's some noise. There's another coronation. The real one. The one God ordained. Adonijah, in fear. Notice verse 46, and also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom, and moreover the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given me one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. You know, faith and fear do not go together. When a person has faith, there's no fear. We drop to our knees in concern. We pray to God in the middle of a crisis. But because we're walking with God, we have faith, and it's demonstrated in our life. It's real. It's genuine. It's not something we say we have. It's there. And we walk with God. And when there's a great need, we drop to our knees and pray. We have confidence. But we see this lacking in Adonijah and all his guests. Fear, great fear came upon them. Because once Solomon had been officially declared the king, that means he's in big trouble. And of course he runs. He runs to the tabernacle, he runs to the house of God. He runs to the altar to take hold of the horns there. He's appealing to God, at least in picture form. It was a show. He looked for protection of God by clinging onto God's tabernacle, you see. Unreal. I mean, everyone in this room, you and I, either we are real or we're not, day to day. Adonijah grabs the altar horns, pleading for mercy, not because he loved God. Verse 50, look at that. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. He was fearful, not because he feared God. 2 points here. When out of the will of God, fear prevails. We said 49. When out of the will of God. You know, when you and I are out of the will of God, fear prevails, particularly when we're in trouble and have a crisis. We drop to our knees and beg on God, oh God, I need you now. And yet we have no confidence that he's going to reply. That's never been the will of God. It's never been the desire of God. God wants a relationship with his children that's close and wonderful. A child should be able to call upon his father for help and know that dad cares. And dad listens. And God will hug him and hold him and strengthen him and encourage him. And he'll take care of everything. Why? Because they get a relationship. And God wants that with you and I. Not just when there's a crisis. God wants our hearts. He wants us to love him with our hearts and not just lip service. Those who do love God with their heart sing praise to him on Monday when no one is around. Those who love him for show sing, oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday, but they sing, oh, how I love me, or how I love the world on Monday. Now, this message isn't about crisis in particular, but it's a point that helps us to see something. Is that the only time I read my Bible? Is that the only time I pray in faith, believing that I'm really talking with him? Because that's what he wants. And when the crisis come, and they do, when they come, we're not overwhelmed with fear. There's concern, there's human concern. There's an overriding strength and peace. We can call upon, he's in your hands, Lord. She's in your hands, Lord. And in that I have peace. God wants us to live like that. God wants us to have that. Hey, Adonijah, I thought you came to the altar last Sunday. Thought you made things right. No, he didn't. Because he had other issues going on. You see, not only did he exalt himself to try to be king, it was later on when Solomon banished him from the palace itself. Turn, if you would, to chapter 2. And we'll read just a few verses here. And we'll learn something about his character. See? And these are all things that we review that you and I might make application. Am I like him? Or more like the believer, the son of God I should be? But look what we see here. Verse 13 of chapter 2. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. So a little time is gone now. See, gone by, since he was banished away from the palace. And when he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel will set their faces on me. Do you remember that, Bathsheba? Remember? Really, it should have been mine. It should have been mine. And all things were in order. Except, he goes on to say, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and has become my brother's. And this is an interesting phrase, for it was his from the Lord. He acknowledged, yes, this was the hand of God. I just tried to circumvent it, you see. But all that aside, Bathsheba, this is why I'm here today. 16, and now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay. He won't say no to you, you're his mother. That he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. Now in chapter 1, the beginning, remember that David, he was so old, he got no heat. They provided that this young virgin would provide him body heat. And the Bible says he never knew her. He never had relations with her. But she was there for a purpose. And she was selected among the nation. She was pretty. She was beautiful. Fair, the Bible says. And apparently, since that time, she has been on Adonijah's mind. Go to the king, would you, Bathsheba, your son, and ask that he give me Abishag, last of 17, the Shunammite, to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto the king Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her. Look at that. A son, even though he's king, bowing to his mother. Young person, always respect and revere your mom. Always respect and revere your dad. They're gifts from God. And bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused the seat to be set for the king's mother. He took care of his mother. It's a two-way street by God's design. And she sat on his right hand. Verse 20, then she said, I desire one petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. Don't say no to me, to my request. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say to thee nay. And she said, let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And the king and King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag, the Shunammite, for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also? For he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah hath not spoken this word against his own life. He's at it again. He wants something for himself. This tells us something about Adonijah's character. It was always about him. And this, his relationship with God, it was a show. When it was convenient, you know, God could help him out by at least the show of holding onto the altar, save his life. He tried to exalt himself as king, and now he wants this woman, can't get his mind off her. She was not set apart for him, but for King David. Verse 24, now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, Solomon, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him, and he died. He got what he deserved. Not talking about God striking you down. God certainly can, for whatever. The point to be made is this. Each one of us chooses our relationship with God every day. Let's be careful that our character is such of one of humility and obedience to God. He's God, we're not. We don't live our lives outside of God and assume that on Sunday, he's my God today. And you may even grab your Bible and tuck it in your arm and off to church we go and sing loudly. And then like was mentioned before, singing that on Sunday, but that's not the same tune you're singing Monday. That's not what God designed and what he wants. Hey, in marriage, is husband and wife, is it only like Friday or Saturday? That's the day, that's the only day, that's your day. And all the other days you're not in love, you don't care for each other, you don't talk with one another. That's not a marriage. Neither is it a right relationship spiritually with the Father. God portrays himself as a heavenly Father who loves me, his sinful son. But he loves me, and he provided a way for my sin to be forgiven through Christ. And through Christ, I can have a relationship with him, and he wants that. And he wants it with you too, each and every day. And when the crisis comes, you can go to your Father without hesitation, without worry and concern. Will he even care? Will he listen? Three really quick points. Number one, crisis Christian lives a hard life. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. You're alone. In truth, you're alone. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's an important verse to remember in Proverbs 13:15. The way of the transgressor is hard. You always need to be rescued. You live in fear, even when things seem to go well. Scared to death when they don't. Shame and embarrassment follow you because you're out of the will of God, and you know it. Adonijah needed rescue and lived in fear and embarrassment. The crisis Christian lives a hard life. Number two, the crisis Christian misses out on sweet fellowship with the Lord. You're missing out. You miss out. No Bible, no prayer tomorrow, you're missing out. It's not a matter of you fitting God in your schedule. It's a relationship. Some devoted, special time, and then throughout the course of the day, you're missing out. Even though Adonijah was one of David's sons, he could not enjoy the palace. His heart sought to please himself more than to enjoy fellowship with his father, the king. He surely missed out. It's good to talk with the Lord when you're in no need of rescuing. It's good to go to him sometimes just to thank him. It's sweeter to walk side by side with him rather than always having him to carry you to safety. When you're walking side by side with him, you know he'll carry you when you need it. The Lord enjoys the fellowship of a Christian when there is not an emergency. He wants to hear from his children. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. So, the crisis Christian lives a hard life, misses out on sweet fellowship with the Lord, and lastly, misses out on joyful service. You know, the humble Christian doesn't think of himself. He thinks about God, serving God and others. It's always about others. I believe that prevails in our church. I'm thankful for a church family that wants to serve God and serve others. There's some that just stand right out. That's all they're about. It's others. It's a joyful thing to serve God. Vacation Bible School, what a blast. Some 40 people in one way or another were involved in putting on Vacation Bible School. 40 people. And they all enjoyed it. It's a wonderful thing. Fun. Serving God. Serving others. Ministering to kids. What a blast. It should be our lives. Serving others. Walking and talking with God. And letting God's love and his grace, strength, and his joy and his delight overflow to others. People want to be around you or don't. You know, I did that illustration once in a while. You know, when people see it coming, then they go. Do they walk away? Do they try to avoid you? Or is it, oh, so-and-so, good to see you. Glad that you're here because you just got Jesus in you. You love God. You walk with him, and he just comes out your pores. We help one another when we do that, when we're there. Joyful service. Adonijah could not serve. We are saved to serve. The great King of Kings has saved us to serve him and to serve others. There's great joy and peace in knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do, doing what you know pleases Him, and that because of your service, He is truly delighted in you and by you. And do you delight Him? Colossians 3:23 says, "For whatsoever you do, do it heartily, your whole heart in it, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." What a wonderful thing to be able to serve God. Summation. We're closing it down. Listen now. The crisis Christian lives a hard life. Don't live there. Walk with God daily. The crisis Christian misses out on sweet fellowship with the Lord. It's available for every one of us. And the crisis Christian misses out on joyful service. Too busy serving himself. But the joyful Christian, the one that walks with God, just can't wait to do something for somebody. Which one of you this morning? Maybe you're not a full-fledged Adonijah, but maybe tonight, this morning, maybe the Spirit of God has said something to you, caused you to note some certain things in your life that are maybe missing. And we've been reminded this morning what God has for us. God would be happy and pleased this morning if we'd make new resolve to walk and talk with Him every day. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We come to a time of invitation. And once again, we're invited to talk with God these next several minutes. The piano will be playing softly. The altar is open. You are welcome. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. Just you and God. You and Jesus. In light of what you have heard, what does God expect from you as a response? Is not His hand held out to you? Are not His arms wide open for you? Would you respond over these next several minutes? Altar's open if you'd like to come. Pray here or pray there, wherever you're at. You and Jesus.